Spring Fest deals are still in full swing at Lowe's. Right now, get 5 bags of Stay Green Premium Color 2-cubic foot mulch for only $10. And get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, save up to $300 when you buy 2 or more select GE kitchen appliances of $396 or more. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 4/16, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
There's been an awful lot of discussion around AI and generative AI and how it is getting used in the workplace and beyond. And one of the areas where it is most concerning in that beyond is academia, because lecturers, tutors, academics have a huge challenge now in separating wheat from chaff when it comes to the kind of projects that they would be handed back, trying to figure out, is this AI or is this the person themselves? With us is Dr. Stephen Luczek. He's assistant professor in linguistics in UCD. Stephen, how significant a threat and how common is the use of generative AI?
Thanks for having me on, Anton. You know, it's everywhere we look. It doesn't have to just be a strangely constructed image we see online. We see it every day in academic settings, and it's up to us to figure a way either to use it as a tool or to design around it. And that's really our two big choices as academics.
How do you spot it when it is coming back at you in the form of project work?
Ironically, the best way to find out is to use an AI-based program that checks to see if it was written by an AI program. So you're essentially feeding the beast. It's the Ouroboros of academic work. Aside from that, I mean, we used to be able to see fairly clearly strange formulations, different types of sentence structures that a generative AI machine would spit out. Those were probably GPT-3, to use the brand name. And this was probably what was being used about 2 years ago. These obviously are getting better. So it's becoming more and more difficult for us to say we can spot them purely by reading. We have the advantage usually with relatively small class sizes that you get to know your students. And when you get to know your students and you get to understand how they approach writing, how they tackle questions in our subject, then you can start to gain an appreciation for how someone writes. But there is no 100% way of discerning that this is written by an AI program or this is written by a human being.
If that's the case, does it raise big existential philosophical questions about the nature of what you are examining? Because if it is possible for somebody to deliver up to a certain standard using AI, does it question the standard that applies?
It might, but I don't think the topic of whether or not a student has produced the work that they've submitted is a new question at all. I mean, I could think back to my own university days 25 years ago, and back then we were required to use print books and print journals. We were told not to use any sources we found on the internet at all. And that didn't mean, you know, don't use, there wasn't a Wikipedia back then, obviously. But we weren't able to use online, you know, catalogs for a library. And that's been a huge development in the way the technology has enhanced the learning experience. There were even places where you could find study guides and sometimes some sample essay questions that really closely aligned with what university professors were using for assessment. So the idea that having your work not be your own is certainly not a new idea. There are always going to be ways of mitigating against someone passing off a different person's work as their own. But essentially, it's not changed all that much at all in, you know, 50 years, I would wager.
Although presumably there is a bigger challenge. If you get AI to do, as I know that many people might, if you get AI to do a first tranche draft at it and then you do a rewrite, much more difficult to find people doing that than doing a rewrite of something that started as direct plagiarism, because the source material is, it's ab initio, it's its own thing.
Absolutely. And this is one of the ways that we can use AI in designing our modules and designing assessment. We can use the technology that's there and that's not going to go away. Something that, as you rightly put, people are using in the workplace. So we have to have an appreciation for what these students who are going to become employees, entrepreneurs, what have you, in the future. What is the world they're going to be prepared for? And that's part of our job here as lecturers, is to prepare them for the world out there. So if they're going into a workplace where they're going to be using AI, why not show them the right ways to use it? Why not show them that you can use this tool as exactly that, as a way of improving your writing, a way of making your writing more clear, more concise, help you generate your research questions for conducting a long-form study. These are all the different ways we can do it, and UCD, we're working towards finding a coherent and university-wide policy. But the College of Arts and Humanities, where I work, we have a traffic light system that says you are informing your students before they complete an assessment. Either it's red, amber, or green. Red, you cannot use AI at all. Amber, you can use it for certain purposes, such as translation, such as idea generation, that sort of thing. Or green, you may use it, but always within the academic integrity guidelines. And that's part and parcel of academic work for centuries. Now, always being aware that plagiarism is out there. Plagiarism is always possible. We don't, oddly enough, AI helps us quite a lot in detecting plagiarism because there are plagiarism checkers that we have built into some of our systems that allow us to see if somebody is passing off another person's ideas as their own. Well, that's powered by AI as well. So if we want to get rid of AI in education, we're going to have to get rid of it there as well.
Lastly, Stephen, what about the academics themselves? If I'm a lecturer looking, thinking, I have to craft an hour-long lecture to keep these undergraduates glued to their seat, I'll just feed it into ChatGPT and paraphrase what it says. Any risk that that's happening?
I mean, you hear stories sometimes. I don't know if it's true. I would certainly never do it myself. I'm far too loosey-goosey in the classroom to stick to what ChatGPT tells me to say out loud.
Stephen, thank you very much. That is Dr. Stephen Luchek, Assistant Professor, loosey-goosey Assistant Professor in Linguistics in UCD.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.